welcome to the Brown Bowl podcast. This is a podcast created for the love of food and meant to support you on a journey to making more vegan choices, no matter where you are along the way. I'm your host, Kim Sujovalski. I'm a teacher, a certified plant-based cook, and for years, I've been helping people go vegan or take more steps in that direction by teaching you how to cook delicious vegan meals, get back in the kitchen, and improve your relationship with food. So are you ready? Lace up those trainers if you're going for a walk, or grab a cup of coffee, get comfy on the couch, and listen in. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Brown Bowl podcast. I am so, so glad you're here. It's finally time for part three of our vegan barbecue series. We've been talking about barbecues in the last couple of episodes, and today we're going to kind of close it off. And together with these three episodes, you're going to have so much content and so many ideas when it comes to grilling. I love grilling in the summer, and I've been telling you all about my history with barbecues throughout the series. And now you can do lots of grilling at home too with all of the ideas. And today we're going to talk about drinks and sweet treats, desserts, and that kind of thing. But we're going to give them a little twist. It's not only your traditional desserts that are going to make the list, but some cool ideas, because I think that barbecues are all about the fun. I think it's really important. Now, we're going to head into it. But another thing that I've been kind of wanting to mention is that, you know, in the summer, I've told you that I always think of barbecues. I always think of, you know, spending time outside. Madrid becomes this incredible place because all of the cafes and bars, they kind of occupy the streets, and they have these beautiful terraces, and we get to hang out there. It's like the most beautiful time of year, in spite of the scorching heat. It's the most beautiful time of year to kind of spend time in the city and really live the vibe of the city. But another thing I absolutely love about the summer are music festivals. And you know that Carlos and I are huge, huge music buffs. We have spent our life together just going to concert after concert. We plan our trips based on festivals and music, you know, things that we want to see. And the summer is usually the time when all of that happens, because you can actually, there's sometimes no rain, usually no rain. I'm going to tell you that story in a second. And I don't know, it's that the weather permits, right? Sometimes it's very, very hot, but usually this is the time when lots of those music festivals kind of take place. And we went to one a couple of weeks ago, and I've been meaning to tell you all about it because it has to do with veganism. Something really interesting happened, and I wanted to tell you all about it. And I hadn't had the chance because we've had sponsors on the show that I wanted to give some of the airtime to, and we've had announcements and things. But today we're kind of going to chill out, and I'm going to tell you about how the vegan movement is changing here. It's worlds away from how it was when I got started. Okay, so the festival that we went to in Madrid was called the Mad Cool Festival. And if you're living in Spain, if you're from Madrid, you know what I'm talking about, because unfortunately, something happened in the festival that made the news. People have been talking about it for the past few weeks, and it's a terrible, terrible tragedy. I'm going to tell you what happened in a second. But this is a festival that I think is the second edition of this festival. It has, I don't know how many bands. It has six stages. It's done in this incredible place. It's got a Ferris wheel. It's got, you know, I mean, you can get tattoos at this place. It's just this enormous kind of, I would call it like a little mini city of music. And you can go to each stage and listen to the kind of music that you love. It's mostly a kind of rock and roll festival, but you've got lots of other bands too, and some other, you know, styles of music, but mostly it's a rock festival. And we went this year because the two headliners were Green Day and the Foo Fighters, two of our favorite bands, which we've seen many times, but every time they come here, we have to go again. And they were just incredible. They were incredible. I got to see some new bands. You know, some of my favorite bands now are bands that I had never heard of, and I heard as opening bands to other, you know, bigger concerts in previous years. So I always love to kind of go earlier and check out some of the smaller bands, because sometimes they become my new favorites. And one of the bands I love, partly because they remind me of Juliette Lewis, the actress and singer. I don't know if you know this, but she is an incredible singer if you like that style of music. And she, I just love her energy. I love her vibe. I'm obsessed with her. And this band was a band with two women, and it was fantastic. They had such incredible energy on stage. If you were watching her Instagram stories those couple of days, you saw their little performance, a little pieces of their performance, and they were fantastic. The band is called Deep Valley, but it's spelled in a very strange way, not the traditional way. It's D-E-A-P, and then Valley, I think, was spelled V-A-L-L-I or something like that. But if you just put Deep and Val, it'll appear on Google. They were fantastic. They had this really, like, very strong energy. The lyrics were awesome. I don't know. I just really love them. We saw another band with three women called Joseph, which I think they were from Portland, and they had some good songs too. We saw Spoon as well. I mean, there were many bands, but of course the main event were the Foo Fighters and Green Day, and they were both fantastic. But I can talk forever about music here, but I don't want to bore you in case these are bands that you have no interest in case music is something that you're not interested in. But it's such a part of our lives, and I rarely get to share it here. You know, Carlos and I have been just going to shows since we first started dating, and it's kind of a big, big part of our lives here. Something really funny happened. We've been having the most summery weather on the planet. It's really hot, just as it typically is in the summer here. And we're right in the center of Spain, and it's scorching, scorching hot. And there's usually no rain, but the weather forecast for those 2 days in which we were going to be at this festival was rain and storms. And we couldn't believe it because we've had nothing, no rain for weeks. And especially, you know, on those two specific days, we were going to have storms. So we grabbed raincoats and stuff so that we could still watch the shows because there's, you know, they're outside and the show was still going to kind of go on. So we went and we got these kind of like, you know, really cheap ponchos just to take them just in case. And of course, it didn't rain. It didn't rain a single drop of water on our heads, which is great. But that's what happens when you go and buy ponchos. So that's a good tip. If you don't want rain, go get yourself a new umbrella or a poncho and you'll be just fine. The important thing about this festival was how much we had fun at these shows. And the place was really incredible. It was a lot of fun. But the important thing, at least when it comes to our podcast, is that, of course, we were going to spend lots of hours there. And they didn't allow you to bring in food or drinks or anything like that. And they had tons of food trucks and kind of little food stalls and things like that. And, you know, we were hoping that there was going to be something. And, you know, at the very least, you're going to find some French fries. So that would have been okay. But can you believe that every single stand and food truck, except for maybe three or four, and I'm talking about something, there were something like 30 different or 25 different food stands and different, you know, from different regions and, you know, different types of food, all of them, except maybe three or four, had vegan options marked as vegan on their chalkboards, on their, you know, it was incredible. We could have gone there for 25 days and had something different to eat at every single meal. And in spite of that, we ended up trying one burger, a vegan burger, the first day. It was so incredible that we had exactly the same thing the second day, which is ridiculous because there were so many different options. There were fully vegan stands at this festival. And I'm talking about Spain, you guys, the land of jamón, right? The land of ham, the land of bullfighting. There were vegan options at almost every single stand. We couldn't believe it. And the best thing is not that they were kind of vegan by default. They were labeled as vegan. It was incredible. There were boards. I have a photograph of a board in this festival that said, we do vegan. And I just thought that was the best line ever, because this is a movement that is growing so much and things are so different now. When we went vegan, it wasn't even close to that. And, you know, if you went to a festival, French fries was really all they had. And this was remarkable. You had vegan hot dogs. You had vegan noodles. You had vegan Indian food. You had vegan sandwiches. You had vegan nachos. You had vegan burgers. Of course, they were the main thing. There were so many different types of vegan burgers out there. It was incredible. And I just had to share it with you because this is a sign of times changing, and I know we're seeing this everywhere, but I want you to really kind of think about it for a second. Things are changing, and the more things change, the easier it's going to be for you, for me, for everybody, for new vegans. I think it is incredible, and I know a lot of people who are transitioning to a vegan diet are listening right now, because a lot of the people who read the blog and who are part of our little community at Brown Bowl are new vegans. I just want to tell you that if you're finding it hard or challenging or you miss certain things, just wait a little bit. Just wait a little bit. Keep at it. Do the best that you can. But things are changing at such a rapid speed that in a couple of years, it's just going to start getting so mainstream that just, you know, nobody's even going to start making the comments people used to make when you told them they were vegan, because they're going to see it at every single menu in most restaurants. It's happening. If it can happen here in Spain, I can't even imagine what, you know, some other American cities are going through right now, for example. It is growing at flash speed. And I think this is a very exciting and interesting time. And I think we all need to get really excited about this. I have always said that it's going to start with the food. I stand by that. The change is going to start with the food being available, being marked as vegan, and people feeling that they are not aliens if they start to eat this way, if they try to eat this way. And you're going to be able to find vegan food where your non-vegan friends and family are still going to be able to eat what they eat. And you're going to be able to have not something, but a good meal. That's the change that I'm seeing. And I am so excited. And I was so excited here. Now, to give you the counterpart of this, because this is Spain, I also took another picture that day. And it was of this man who was wearing a hat. And he was eating a chorizo, like a chorizo sausage. And when he wasn't taking a bite of it, he would tuck it into his hat under the bandana that was around, not a cowboy hat, but like one of these straw hats. And he had like a bandana tied around it, and he would tuck his chorizo. So I have this picture. I'm going to try to post these pictures somewhere on Facebook, maybe. He had this chorizo tucked into his hat so he could reach it comfortably while he was watching the shows. Of course, everybody was taking pictures and I took pictures. Yeah, that's the world we live in, okay? You're going to have some people tucking chorizo into their hats, and then you're going to have tons and tons of restaurants and people making this choice and giving these options. And I think it's cool. I think things are going to change, even though there are still chorizo tucking people out there. I just had to tell you that story. Now, the festival was awesome. The bands were incredible. I will never get tired of listening to these two bands, especially the Foo Fighters were just unbelievable. The ability that Dave Grohl has for screaming while he is singing and have his voice not run out, to me, is like alien status. I do not understand it. And his shows, they are just these two, particularly these two bands, because there are many rock and roll bands that just get on stage and they play and you just love it because you've been listening to these songs since you were a wee kid, right? But these two bands, these guys are showmen. They just put on a show, and it was fantastic. Now, the very sad and extremely tragic part of this festival was the fact that there was an acrobatic performance right before Green Day went on. And the acrobat that was performing, very, very extremely high up in like a little cage on a crane or something like that, up in the sky. I mean, he was really, really high up. He fell. And I don't know if they've determined what happened, if it was an error in safety measures, if it was a human error, I don't know if they've determined what happened, but unfortunately he died and everybody saw it. It was happening while he was doing his performance. It's on video. People were tweeting like crazy because a lot of us, I didn't know what was going on. I was walking from the place where they had all the food trucks because I was eating my vegan burger. I was walking to the Green Day concert, but people who were waiting for the Green Day concert to begin saw this happen. And they made the decision with the police that they wouldn't cancel the show because of a safety issue. There were 45,000 people in front of that stage at that moment. It could have been, especially with all of the terrorist attacks and things that have been going on in concerts in Europe recently and in places like this, it could have been a safety issue. If people didn't understand why the show had suddenly been canceled, there could have been lots of problems. So they decided to continue on with the show. So Gatos and I had no idea that this had just happened. Literally, while the Green Day concert was going on, the police was taking photos of the crime scene and the accident scene. I guess you would call it an accident scene, right? Which is so tragic. I felt so horrible after. We actually saw the whole show. We went out, we left, and when we arrived home, it's when we started seeing all the tweets about what had happened. People were tweeting, asking them to cancel the show because they had seen what was going on. And I think it was such a tragedy. I am so sorry for this man's family, the fact that he lost his life doing a performance to entertain other people. I don't know about the details of, you know, what happened, how the organizers of the show handled it. All of this stuff is really recent. It's still going on. But they have received so much criticism. And I think there are things to criticize about the way they handled things. They should have canceled the third day of the show. We didn't go to the third day of the show, but things kind of went on. And I'm very sad about that because I think if there had been an accident with somebody from the audience, they would have canceled it. But because he was somebody who was working for this festival, they didn't. And I think those types of things are tragic and terrible. But yeah, so bittersweet moment. Very bittersweet. Well, very bitter end to a very good festival. So yeah, that's what has been going on with us around here. But I wanted to share all of the vegan stuff in spite of this very tragic thing that happened in that festival. And I just wanted to tell you all about that because I know we have lots of new vegans as listeners. And I think it's important to give you lots of optimism because when you start going on this journey, you can turn to negative town really quickly. It can get very depressing, especially if you do this for animal rights, for animals. If you make this change for animals, it can be so disheartening. It can feel that nothing is changing. It can feel that, it's just very hard. It can be very emotionally draining. And I just wanted to give you my perspective because my perspective has always been positive. I have seen so many changes and I think that we are capable of change as a society. And some of us are going to be on that leading edge. Some of us are not going to be, and that's fine. But I wanted to give you a little hope. And it was incredible. The change has been remarkable. And I wanted to share that today before we get into today's show. And I'm sorry for this very long story. But now we're going to head into our delicious vegan barbecues. Now, before we really get into the topic of today's show, I want to tell you about a resource I think you're going to really, really love. And I'm talking about our free video series, which you can access by visiting www.brownbull.com. And it's a series of videos that you'll receive right in your inbox that will help you revamp your cooking and your eating habits with some really, really practical tips. I'm all about the practical tips, you know that. So I help you get your kitchen and fridge and pantry organized so that you can kind of streamline the cooking process so that it doesn't become overwhelming. I teach you my batch cooking and meal planning basics. I give you some beginner tools to help you find kind of a new way to approach the moment of eating. And there's just so much more. And you can take a look at that. You can join. Before you could access, there was a little like image in the homepage that you could just click and get access to, well, start receiving the video series. You get it by email. But now if you go to the kind of menu where it says online program and courses, it's going to be one of those little tabs that pop up and you can just sign up and receive those. And it's really cool. It's filled with practical tips and it's all about, you know, getting organized and preparing everything so that you really start cooking more at home, which, as you know, is my mission. It's what I'm all about. So go on over to bramble.com, check it out. And now on with the show. Okay, so in part one of the vegan barbecue series, we talked all about vegan meatiness and marinades. And part two, which was last week, we talked all about the basics of grilling perfect vegetables. I gave you my list of vegetables that go really great on the grill. And it was also about making delicious side dishes and salads to go with your meals. And today, for the last part of our vegan barbecue series, it's time for delicious drinks. And they're going to be both boozy and PG-13 or less. And of course, delicious desserts, because you've got to have dessert, especially if you're entertaining, right? People want a little sweetness after their meal. So, you know, although I'm a firm believer that if you have a barbecue at home and you're in the habit of using it, any meal of the week is an excuse to pop it open and do some grilling. Grilling is really not a time-consuming thing, especially if you have a gas grill that only requires turning the knob on, just like you would do with your stove. It's really helpful. We changed our charcoal grill for a gas grill a few years ago precisely because of it, because we did so much grilling. We grilled so many vegetables every week. It's one of those staples that I love to have on hand and kind of batch grill and have lots of them for the week. So this is something that we do all the time. We pop open the grill, even if we're going to make some asparagus, and we just put it on there. It's basically like an additional stove, right? However, today's ideas, because we're going to be talking about drinks and vegan desserts for barbecues, we're especially going to focus on when you're entertaining, right? So we had a previous episode recently, which you have to check out because it's full of crazy cool stories about my childhood. It was called Easy Peasy Vegan Entertaining, all about creating delicious dinner parties and parties at home. And I told you in that episode, I told you all about how my mother was the dinner party queen. She was the queen. And this is a little kind of personality trait that I inherited, although I don't even compare to her. But we tend to think that entertaining kind of needs to be about a perfectly flawless dish where you can make no errors and, you know, where everything needs to be just right and the flavors just need to be absolutely perfect and it has to be something fancy. But in reality, entertaining is really all about giving your guests a new and kind of memorable experience. It's about giving them something that they wouldn't get at home, right? Or in their day-to-day life, in their day-to-day eating at home. So it's about creating those memories. And I don't know, an afternoon or evening that's all about new experiences at the table. I think that's what it's really all about. That's kind of what I received after years of brainwashing from my mother about how entertaining was the most important thing ever. Not the most important thing ever at all. That she, you know, that wasn't the case, but it was something that was, I don't know, very much ingrained in me by my mom. She just loved to entertain because she loved to be around people, and people are the most important thing. You know, the people that are close to you, keeping those connections, and barbecues are entertaining in general are a great way to do that. It's a great fun way to do that, right? So that creation of new experiences at the table, to me, that means fun. And we've been having plenty of fun in the series so far, but the perfect kind of quote unquote fun additions to a barbecue are really the drinks and the desserts, at least for me. So today I'm going to go on a mission. I'm kind of on a mission to show you why that is the case and give you plenty of ideas. So the drinks and the desserts, all of the things we've been mentioning in the series are great fun, right? Because barbecuing is fun. And the way we eat something that was on the barbecue is different, right? But what I mean to say by what the fact that these two are the most fun additions is that with drinks and desserts, you can really theme up stuff. and you've heard me talk about themes before. And so this is really cool. So first off, we're going to start with some ideas for fun non-alcoholic drinks for barbecues, okay? Things that are refreshing. And of course, you can just have some water and put some beautiful fruit in there and just have those pitchers of water for people to cool off, especially if it's really hot. It's always very important to stay hydrated. But I'm going to give you some different drinks because if we're having a special occasion, you can have a little special something. For all of your other meals, water is the king, right? But for when you're entertaining, you can make something nice and special. And all of these kids can enjoy because they have no alcohol. So the first one is, of course, classic lemonade or pink lemonade. And you know the drill here, right? Lemon juice, water, a sweetener, whichever you like. And although traditionally made pink lemonade uses grenadine, which is full of some stuff that you might not want to eat because it's kind of a lot more artificial, you can make pink lemonade by blending up your traditionally made lemonade with some watermelon or some raspberries and strain it, and especially strain it to remove the seeds if you're using the raspberries. And you can make an all natural version. It's really cool. And all you need is a little because you want that pink effect. All you need is a little bit. And then you can also add lots of ice to the blender and turn it into a delicious slushy. Carlos loves his lemonade in slushy form, so that's a great idea. We can also make sweet tea or regular iced tea. Now, when I say sweet tea, a lot of people might not know what I'm talking about. Sweet tea is like a thing. It's not iced tea. This is sweet tea. This is a southern classic from the southern states of the United States. And it's delicious for good reason. It's not the healthiest thing in the world because it is seriously sweet. It's really refreshing. It's perfect for the summer months, but it is sweet. And true southerners, they're going to tell you that by sweet tea, they mean sweet tea. Meaning that it might be too sweet to your liking. So you can also make traditional iced tea with less sugar or less sweetener and then let people sweeten it further if they want to. But in one of my favorite films of all time, I love this movie. This movie is called Steel Magnolias. It's an oldie, but always a goodie. And it's with Dolly Parton and it's with these fantastic stars, including Sally Field and who else is in that movie? My goodness. Daryl Hannah is in that movie. I mean, there's so many amazing actresses in this film. It's truly a treat. In this movie, Dolly Parton's character calls sweet tea the house wine of the South. And it is really true. It's a staple in the southern states of the United States. Everybody's, if you open a fridge in the South, you might find, you're very likely to find a pitcher of sweet tea. And whether it's sweet tea or traditional iced tea that isn't so sweet, it's as simple as steeping several tea bags in boiling water and whisking in sugar or the sweetener of your choice. You can add a pinch of baking soda. This is a little secret ingredient. Not a lot of people know this, but adding a pinch of baking soda will help kind of smooth out the tannins in tea and it'll help it taste less bitter. So it will enhance that sweetness. And you add additional cold water once it's done and you let it chill in the fridge. This is really important. It has to be really cold. And I love to serve it adding peach or nectarine slices to my iced teas. But you can add lemon slices as well if you prefer it with a lemon flavor. And, you know, that's an option. Traditional sweet tea is served as is, really chilled and with some ice. And that's it. So, you know, do what you like. Another option is a green tea mint slushy. So here what you can do is make some green tea. You add it to a blender with some fresh mint leaves, a bit of agave, and lots of ice, and you blend it away. And this is divine for barbecues, especially because of the heat. If you're having the heat we're having here, that one will be a godsend. Now, another slushy that is delicious. Carlos loves slushies. Did I say that? So that's why there are lots of slushies in this list. So another one is a bubbly watermelon and lime slushy. Here what you can do is you can add watermelon, sparkling water, a squeeze of lime, some mint leaves, and ice to a blender. If you want to sweeten it further, you can, but watermelon is usually really sweet. So you'll find that you don't need anything else. And here you just blend it until you have like a slushy texture, like the texture of a frappuccino maybe, right? And you serve this one in martini glasses with a little lime wedge on the side. Oh my goodness, it's really, really refreshing and delicious. And you get to use all that summer fruit that you might have lying around there. All right, this one that's coming up next, this is the last one of our non-boozy versions, is the black and blue virgin mojito. It's one of my favorites. So here what you do is you, like you would make a traditional mojito, you smash together in the bottom of a glass, you smash some lime, some brown, like pieces of lime, right? Or lime slices, brown sugar, blackberries, blueberries, and some spearmint. And you kind of smash everything together with that sugar. You add sparkling water and you serve it topped with extra berries in a tall glass. And of course you can transform it into a non-virgin mojito by adding some white rum to the mix. So this one is kind of like a two for one. You can take it both ways. That's really delicious and it's beautiful. And if you add additional berries that are whole, it looks so pretty. It just looks amazing. It has this very strong color, like a purple color. It's really beautiful. All right, now let's turn onto the boozies. Let's talk about the boozies. So these are boozy alcoholic drinks for barbecues that I absolutely love. So one of them is this strawberry nectarine Moscato punch. So here what you would do is you make a punch style bowl, right? Which is great when you're having a party because everybody just serves themselves. You don't have to be there making something like you would a mojito. So you use a punch style bowl, you add sliced strawberries, nectarines, and some white or pink Moscato wine. This Moscato wine is this very, very sweet dessert wine. I know many women love their, you know, like their very incredible, rich wines, but this is what I call girly girl wine because I'm very much a girly girl and I love drinking this stuff. It's almost impossible for it to make you drunk because it's really soft in the alcohol level and it's very, very sweet. So it's kind of like a nice little, I don't know, my friends turned me onto it and now I can't stop. So this is perfect for this kind of punch, which is also kind of mild. You won't have a lot of people drunk at the end of your barbecue that you can't make and you can't make them leave. So white or pink Moscato wine, and you add those slices of fruit and you just serve it in little small, these cute small prom style punch glasses. I love them. So that's a really great idea and it's beautiful. It's got this, you can, if you use the pink Moscato, it's got this beautiful pink color, really nice. All right, another option is cherry apple strawberry gingery sangria. Yeah, cherry apple strawberry gingery sangria. So here what you would do is combine white wine, ginger ale, that's the gingery part, pitted and halved cherries, cubed or sliced pink lady apples with the skin so you get that hint of color, sliced strawberries, and you serve it with a wedge of lemon. And it's just awesome. Sangria is awesome. You can also make it with red wine, but with white wine, you're going to really see those fruits, and it's very beautiful. Another option you have, we talked about pink lemonade before, but you can make boozy pink lemonade by blending together some lemonade, some watermelon, vodka, ice, and you serve. Really, really easy. Now, one of my favorite drinks of all time, the classic piña colada. This is so easy to veganize. And unfortunately, in many bars, although this is basically something that should be vegan, in many bars, piña coladas are not because sometimes they cheat and they put actual dairy into the drink. So always ask if you're having piña coladas at a bar. But the classic piña colada is vegan. It includes rum, coconut milk or coconut cream if you want to go even more traditional, pineapple or pineapple juice, ice, and that's it. So all of those things are vegan, but you should always ask if you're having it at a bar. I have had a hard time finding vegan piña coladas in bars around here because they all sneak in that dairy in there. I don't understand why. All right, that was our piña colada. Really easy to make. You could even freeze it into popsicle hold. How do you call that? Popsicle holders? Popsicle trays? I don't know. You can make it into popsicles and have piña colada popsicles. That sounds good, right? Okay, the next one, the last one of this list, is the one I've called That Ain't No Onion Lychee Martini. If you've had lychee martinis, I had never had a lychee martini until I went to Greece a few years ago, and Carlos and I went out. We were in the island of Mykonos, and we were having a kind of a nice little night out. We went to this bar And they had, I love lychees. I've been obsessed with lychees since I was a little kid. I love the texture. And they had a lychee martini, so I had to order it. And I know this is a thing, you guys. I know this is a thing, and it's been a thing for a while, but I was late to the lychee martini game for some reason. So here you would combine some dry vermouth or vodka, a bit of lychee juice. So if you, they don't sell lychee juice. If you buy the canned lychees, you just put some in the blender, you strain them, and that's how you get lychee juice. Or you can use some of the syrup that comes with the lychees that will have all of that flavor. You shake this over ice, you pour it into a martini glass, and then you add one or two lychees instead of onions, how you would add like a little onion to the martini, and that's it, and you enjoy. And of course you can make Bloody Marys, you can make, I mean, any type of boozy drink that you like can be used for a vegan barbecue, really simply. Okay, now let's talk about sweetness, because you know I love my desserts. I love baking. And some of these include baking. Some of these do not include baking. Some of these even include grilling. It's pretty cool. So let's talk about some fun post-barbecue sweet treats, okay? You know, when I think about desserts for summer, I'm always thinking of something that is both kind of refreshing, but also sweet, of course, and very comforting, right? Usually with the kind of added texture of serving something creamy. For some strange reason, maybe it's ice cream's fault, I associate the summer with creaminess. It's something that is kind of soothing on a hot day, right? Even if it's not actual ice cream. Of course, ice cream makes the list, but so do kind of fruit tarts made with vegan pastry cream and vegan cheesecakes and chocolate or raspberry pudding or strawberry shortcake and, you know, individual and kind of easy to serve goodies for a party like brownies or, for example, a great one, are individual avocado chocolate puddings with a pecan coconut crumble base. This recipe is in at bramble.com in the recipe section. It is amazing. So all of these kinds of things are perfect for barbecues, right? You can basically make any dessert a part of your barbecue feast. But what I want to do right now in this episode is give you some ideas that really center around fun, okay? Things that kids can help out with if you have kids, treats that guests themselves are going to get to assemble and assemble them how they like them, and even goodies that can go on the grill. So we're really, this is where like a lot of the fun comes in. Now they've had all those boozy, delicious, fun drinks that I mentioned before. So now they're ready for some sweetness. So the first category is kind of grilled fruit with a side of ice cream or coconut whipped cream for serving, for example, right? So yeah, fruit, like a fruit salad is great after a barbecue, but if you want to kind of take it up a notch, you can actually grill the fruit and you serve it with a little sweetness on the side because it's a special occasion, right? So here are some combinations that I really like. Some of them are going to sound so strange to you that you're going to think I'm crazy, but they work. And we've talked about some of these in our food pairings episodes. So here's one. Pineapple slices, which you brush with maple syrup, a sprinkle of pepper. Yeah, like black pepper. Pink pepper would also be really good. And you grill the pieces, right? They have this brush of the maple syrup and the sugars in the fruit itself, and it gets nice and caramelized. It's so good. You serve that again with that ice cream or the coconut whipped cream if you want, or any toppings that you want, or you have them as is. Another option is halved peaches brushed with a bit of high heat oil, some agave or maple syrup, some cinnamon, and then you scrape the insides of a vanilla bean and you put a little bit on those peaches as well. It's really delicious. And of course, then you grill the peaches. If it takes like forever to flip halved peaches, you can skewer them and then just flip the skewer. That's always an option. Skewers are really helpful in barbecues. Another option, watermelon slices, thick watermelon slices brushed with a bit of agave or maple, some fresh thyme, like you sprinkle some fresh thyme on top, you grill these pieces, and then you drizzle the watermelon slices with a balsamic vinegar reduction, which you can do by just cooking down some balsamic vinegar, or you can now buy vinegar reductions that are ready-made, and they'll last a long time because all you need to add is a drizzle. Another thing you can do when it comes to grilling fruit is you alternate mango and pineapple chunks in a skewer, you grill them, and then when they're done, you get to drizzle them with melted dark chocolate. So good. So amazing. All right. Fruit and cake skewers is our next category. So skewers is like a theme, right? With barbecues, people expect skewers, but what they don't expect is to see an actual cake on a skewer. And this is basically what we're doing. So we're going to alternate layers of fruit and pieces of cake on skewers, and it's going to be fun. And they're going to be drizzled with stuff or dunked into stuff, and it's going to be, people are going to be really impressed. And it's going to be fun. That's the idea, right? Fun desserts. So here, for example, we alternate fruit and, for example, brownie squares or cake squares. And it's, for example, a fun way to theme up something like a strawberry shortcake, for example. So here are some other ideas. Number one, brownie squares, like you make brownies and you cut them into little squares and you put them in a skewer. Some strawberry, you alternate these layers, of course, brownie squares, strawberries, and vegan marshmallows, and you drizzle with melted chocolate or caramel. Oh my goodness. So, so good. Another option, vanilla cake cut into little cubes, strawberries, banana chunks, and then you make a little chocolate fondue on the side for dipping them as you eat. Don't be intimidated by chocolate fondue. Chocolate fondue is basically chocolate, melted chocolate, some kind of sweetener if it isn't already sweetened, and a little bit of non-dairy milk to help it melt down, and then you just keep it warm with a candle underneath if you have a little fondue pot. If not, just bring it hot and people will eat it really fast and it's not going to harden on you. And that's it. Really good. Another option for the skewers, for the fruit and cake skewers, chocolate cake skewers, squares, banana slice, well, banana chunks. You can't put a little tiny slice because it might not work. Halved strawberries. And you put chocolate sauce on top and then you sprinkle some chopped walnuts or coconut flakes. By the way, just in case you're don't mistake these from the previous category, which went on the grill. These don't go on the grill. These are just like desserts that you're assembling in a different way. Another one that I love is pineapple upside down cake skewers. So here what you do is you would make a kind of a typical, the sponge part of the cake of a pineapple upside down cake. You cut it into cubes, it can be a basic vanilla cake, okay? You cut it into cubes, you place it in skewers with some maraschino cherries and pineapple chunks, you know, alternating, and you drizzle everything with a bit of maple syrup. And or you can cook down a little bit of pineapple juice with a sweetener and cook it really, really down until you form a syrup. Or if you find pineapple jam, for example, because this is what would be the caramelization that happens in the bottom of the pan of a pineapple upside down cake. So that's what you kind of want to mimic. But some maple syrup is fine. It's gonna be really yummy. Okay, next category. S'mores. Who doesn't love s'mores? And we tend to associate them only with camping and camping trips, but they're great at barbecues and at parties, because I'm going to give you a cool idea. So here what you would do is you arrange different plates with vegan graham crackers in one, vegan marshmallows in the other one, non-dairy chocolate in another one. And you can also, by the way, give this a twist. You can create s'mores. This is for people to assemble their own s'mores, but you can do it ahead of time, giving it a twist, and create them beforehand between two vegan chocolate chip cookies. Put those layers there and kind of make these little sandwiches and just put them on plates for people to enjoy. But you kind of have to make this at the last minute so that the marshmallow is nice and melted. But I love it when people get to assemble their own stuff. People love it. It's not extra work. They love to do this. So this is really delicious. So what you do is you melt the marshmallows on skewers over the open fire of the grill. Or you can really simplify this and give it a very elegant twist by placing lit votive candles along the table or at each person's place setting. Don't do this with little ones because it could be a fire hazard, and be very careful with those candles, of course. And each person has their own little candle and their own little skewers and their little plates with all of the things they need to assemble a delicious s'more. So that's a s'mores station, and it's fun and that's cool and people love it. And it's great for doing outside. Okay, another one of my favorites, banana split or sundae stations, especially those banana splits. I grew up eating banana splits, so I love them. So here you set up a full-on ice cream station, and this is my favorite way to end a barbecue, and it is always a huge hit. And the reason I love this one is because when I was a little girl, I think I was maybe 9 years old, I went to a wedding with my mother. It was the wedding of some, not a close acquaintance, somebody we knew that invited my mom over, and we went to the wedding. And it was one of these crazy weddings that was, I can't even, now I think about it and I can't even think of what a wedding like that must cost, because our wedding was done completely DIY and it was something of a, it was a completely different animal. So I don't even know how much something like that would have cost, because the food in this place was just incredible. The decor, everything was this huge, it was a huge wedding. But what was really interesting to me as a kid is that they had an ice cream station that was so long and had so many flavors of ice cream. It could have been an ice cream shop, easy peasy. It had all of these toppings. I mean, the whole thing was incredible. And I got such a big stomachache after that wedding because I overdosed on ice creams and sundaes and banana splits. It was insane. I don't know why my mother didn't stop me. Maybe she was dancing or something and didn't see how much I ate. So this was awesome. And you can make this at home. It's so much fun. Kids love this, of course, but adults do too, because I've always told you that we're little kids. We're just little kids at heart. So some of my favorites for the station, right? Grab a pen. Bananas, sliced strawberries, chopped nuts. And by the way, by bananas, I mean you can slice them or you can leave them whole if you want to make a banana split or cut it lengthwise, right? So bananas, sliced strawberries, chopped nuts. And I think my favorites are walnuts, hazelnuts, macadamia nuts, and of course, peanuts, which is the classic, right? Melted dark chocolate, caramel sauce. And if you don't know how to make a caramel sauce, we have a delicious recipe for melted toffee. Toffee is basically a type of caramel sauce in our sticky toffee sweet potato cake at bramble.com. And I'm adding the link, by the way, to this recipe in the post that goes with this episode, so you can find it there. Sprinkles. You can have chocolate sprinkles. You can have, I don't know, any type of sprinkles that you love. You can have coconut whipped cream, crumbled vegan chocolate chip cookies, mini brownie bites, vegan chocolate chips, kind of torn, you know, kind of crumbled up, maraschino cherries, chopped Oreo cookies. You can have shredded coconut flakes, mini pretzels. This is such a cool idea. If you're a sweet, savory, crazy person like I am, mini pretzels. You're welcome. Okay. Melted chocolate and peanut butter, right? You melt the chocolate, you heat up the peanut butter too, and then you swirl them together. And it's cool if you can get to see both colors. And you add a little bit of maple syrup and vanilla extract and you swirl all of that together. It's a delicious sauce for a sundae because it has the peanut flavor and the chocolate flavor and the creaminess and chopped pistachios for sprinkling. And you can also process these really finely into a powder and kind of sprinkle the powder on top. It's really elegant and beautiful. Crunchy cereal or granola, any type that you like. Your favorite flavors of non-dairy ice cream, of course, they have to be in there. So do you see how you can make a cool, cool ice cream station with lots of different stuff? Yeah. All right. Another version of the ice cream station is an ice cream sandwich station. And this one is it can be as simple or as elaborate as you want to make it. So you use the favorites from the list I just gave you, and you include graham crackers or chocolate chip cookies, and you sandwich some ice cream between them, and then you roll them in your favorite toppings that I just mentioned to coat the sides. And each person makes their own ice cream sandwich on the spot. This one is a huge crowd pleaser. Okay, so now ice cream aside, another thing that you can make, and it's great because you can make it in advance, is a mini waffle or crepe station. You can make the crepes and the mini waffles ahead of time, and you can warm them up in the oven right when you're going to set them out. And you serve it with, for example, fruit for topping. And here my favorites are bananas, blackberries, strawberries, blueberries, that kind of thing. You serve some non-dairy ice cream to top your mini waffle or your crepe or anything like that. You can include chocolate, caramel, or strawberry sauce, non-dairy whipped cream. You can make a chocolate hazelnut spread like a vegan Nutella. There are so many recipes out there. It's crazy, and it is so simple to make. Usually, all it includes is some cacao powder and hazelnuts and maple syrups and something like that. It's really, really simple to make. And, of course, your favorite chopped nuts for adding a little crunch is also awesome. So that's a mini waffle or crepe station. It's pretty cool. And of course, you guys, besides all of these, all this fun stuff that has like people doing stuff and audience participation, you can just make an old-time dessert, like a favorite dessert of yours, and make it in their vegan versions. You can make any dessert vegan. Vegan baking is the easiest part of vegan cooking. You might not think it because we've been taught that we absolutely need eggs and dairy and butter to make delicious desserts, and that is so not the case. In fact, a lot of people would be making more money on their cakes if they knew this, because sometimes all you need to replace eggs in a recipe is vinegar and baking soda or baking powder. People don't know little tricks like that. And we have, by the way, a video that it's a video that so many of you have commented on our YouTube, because I think it was very helpful for you, and it's about egg replacers for baking. So you can check that out too if you want. And, you know, a lot of people would make more money on their cakes and pies if they knew that substitutes for these things in their vegan version are a lot cheaper. And of course, no animals are harmed. And of course, no cholesterol seeps into your system and no saturated fat. So it's pretty cool. All right, so make any of these classics vegan style. Nobody's going to know the difference. And you can tell them after they've had their second helping, right? So pies. Number one for me. You know I am obsessed with pies. One of my favorite movies, food movies on earth, is the movie Waitress, where all she does is make pies in the movie. So yeah. So here's some ideas. Strawberry rhubarb pie, banana cream pie, blueberry pie, cherry pie, apple pie, pecan pie, lemon meringue pie, chocolate raspberry pie, key lime pie. I mean, there are so many options. All of the ones that I just told you are great for the summer. Another option, since there is so much fruit available in the summer months, is fruit crumbles or fruit cobblers. You can make strawberry shortcake. You can make pineapple upside down cake. Cheesecake is a fabulous one, and it's one of the ones that I serve most frequently when we barbecue, because it's creamy, it's chilled, and it's got a little fruit topping, and it's just a very soothing texture after you've had lots of food from the barbecue. Brownies are another option, because for some people, dessert, if it's not chocolate, it's not dessert. Gatos is on that train a little bit, although he loves other things too. You can make chocolate cake. You can make tiramisu, which is great for the summer. You can make a baked Alaska. And yes, you can make baked Alaska vegan, because now with the wonder of aquafaba, which is the kind of the liquid that comes in a can of chickpeas, you can whip that up like egg whites and make stiff peaks. So now you can make delicious baked Alaska with non-dairy ice cream inside. It's awesome. If you don't know what a baked Alaska is, go and Google it, because the pictures are amazing. It's like this mountain of ice cream covered in, like, I don't know, stiff peaks that you have broiled a little bit with a torch, or you've torched a little bit. And it's got these golden peaks, and some people love it. My mother loved a baked Alaska. And so pretty cool. Fruit tarts is another one. And if you're a member of our online program, I think it was this week that we just released our awesome strawberry tart. It is one, according to Carlos, who is a chocoholic, he says that it is his current favorite dessert of mine. That says a lot, because this doesn't have any chocolate. So fruit tarts are awesome. In that video, if you're a member of our online program, I teach you how to make vegan pastry cream, by the way. And vegan pastry cream is perfect for making all of these refreshing desserts with lots of fruit tarts, right? Then you have the world of cupcakes, which is awesome. And by the way, the other day I was kind of scrolling through Pinterest. Pinterest is like porn for me. And I saw these cupcakes, these barbecue themed cupcakes that had like a little grill made with chocolate, and then gummy bears, or it wasn't bears, but like, you know, gummy bear style candy. And it was skewered into like a little stick, and that was popped on top of that grate that was made with chocolate, which in itself was propped on top of the frosting of the cupcake. So it was like a grill. I mean, that's like food poetry right there. It's like a very obvious type of food poetry, but it's pretty cool. So you've got the world of cupcakes, and you can make any of the cakes that I mentioned in cupcake form, which is great because people can grab whenever they like, and kids love these. So yeah, I mean, as usual, I could go on and on forever, but now you have tons of ideas to add refreshing drinks, delicious desserts, and especially, you know, so you can infuse your barbecues with extra doses of fun foods. It's always, always a good thing. Now, that's all I have for you today. So, of course, if you have, I want to know what your favorite dessert or drink to serve at barbecues is, because you can add on to this list. So if you go to the post that goes with this episode at bramble.com, you can leave it in the comments. And I will be so, so, so grateful. And I love having you here as always. I love recording this podcast. You know that. And I cannot thank you enough for listening in today. It was so much fun. Now, if you'd like to support this podcast, I would be so grateful if you could subscribe and also leave us an awesome rating and review on iTunes. And I never mentioned my Stitcher listeners. I love you guys. I know you're out there because I see that you're listening from Stitcher. And I'm not sure, I have to look into this. I'm not sure if Stitcher has a ratings and reviews way to kind of promote podcasts, but iTunes is, of course, the big, big kahuna when it comes to new people finding podcasts. So that's why I always ask you to leave us a rating and review on iTunes specifically. And this really helps us rank higher in searches. It helps other people who need this information find us. And all you have to do to leave us a rating and review is open your podcast app and you click the little search icon. You type in Bramble, go to the podcast, and then you click the reviews tab, click write a review, and you leave it there. You can do this from your phone right now after you finish listening to this. And I will be so, so grateful. And you can also do this from your computer if it's easier for you. You open your iTunes, you type in Bramble in the search bar, you go to ratings and reviews, and you leave it there. I mean, I can't tell you how grateful I will be if you can take the time to do this, because we really want to support others on their journey. As I mentioned in the beginning of the show, this is a movement that is growing. A lot of people want information, a lot of websites there. I think, you know, there's so much information out there that people don't know where to start. And I think, you know, ours is very practical. It gives you lots of tools and tips, and people are loving it. So I will be so thrilled to have new listeners and have new people, you know, be able to help new people reach their goals when it comes to veganism and improving their relationship with food. So if, you know, if people are looking for this information, we need to rank higher in the searches and on iTunes. So I will be forever grateful if you can leave us a rating and review. And of course, thank you so much for listening today, guys. As usual, I will see you next week with more on Thursday, because that's our little date. Bye-bye.